The following podcast is for mature audiences only, so hey, look, if you're under 18, just turn it off, okay?
Do you know the secrets of making friends? They are so simple and easy. That looks easy enough, and Joey is going to try it out.
Hi guys, it's Miss Jenga.
It's Freckles.
Captain Jack, I'm back.
Yes!
Captain Jack.
Fist pumping, standing for those listening. High fives all the way around.
Right.
Fuck yeah.
That's what we're talking about there.
Glad to have you, sir. Glad to have you. We've got a drink. We've got a guest. We've got our shit together.
Got a guest.
Damn Skippy.
Oh.
All right.
Wait, you pour that. I'll go get the other drink. Hang on.
Huh?
Oh. Okay. I'll pour this out.
I'm lost.
Yeah, that's okay.
So what is this crap that looks like? I don't even want to describe it right now because that'll be disgusting.
Really? After some of the drinks that you've poured, come on now. Come on now.
I know. Rockstar based.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Gatorade yellow. Mmm. That's what I like to drink.
This looks like diluted grapefruit juice.
It is bourbon, apple cider.
And more ginger beer?
And ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Ginger beer.
Yes. One for you, Cap'n.
Thank you, I think.
Yes, indeed. One for you, Ms. Jenga. One for me. One for
our
guest.
All right, I'm back. I got the other drink. It's a surprise. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
So, we also have a guest, like I said. Welcome, Ari Kardosh.
Hello.
She's back.
Yay.
Dun-da-dun.
It's only been 3-4 months.
Been a couple months, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got her own little special guest.
I do.
With us tonight.
It's no longer inside her.
No, she is. Ari is an international communication coach, relationship and professional communications, and dealing with dynamics and all kinds of cool stuff. You've got a book coming out.
I do, all on relationship agreements.
Yep, early in 2016.
Ooh. Yeah, it was a little delayed. Had a baby called, instead.
Ah. Right, yeah, surprise. Yeah.
Baby.
Or baby in advance.
Baby in advance. Five weeks early, book needs to be at least 5 weeks late.
Okay, so yeah, the baby advance precluded the book advance.
Exactly.
Okay,
that's fair. But the book tour was great. Now we're just waiting on the book to come out.
Fantastic. And it actually is called Relationship Agreements.
Yes.
By Ari Kardosh.
Yep, with Adam Kardosh.
Adam Kardosh, your fabulous
hubby.
Primary hubby. Yep. Yes. And you do relationship and career coaching also through remote video coaching. And we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Sounds great. Yep.
Yeah. So we've got a drink of the podcast, Freckles. What's on deck? Did you already describe it?
I did, actually.
Okay.
But for those who weren't listening earlier, it's bourbon, apple cider, and ginger beer.
And Ari, you just have plain cider, dear.
Okay.
So. Thank you.
I would like
it's
to
delicious.
State for the record the best ginger drink you've ever made.
Well.
There's been a lot of them.
Thank you very much.
I like
much.
Dark
I appreciate
and stormy, though, dude.
No. No. This kind of tastes like...
He also missed the gin sling.
This kind of tastes like an apple pie.
It does.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Not in that gross hillbilly way. Like the apple pie, like moonshine shit that people are always making and bringing to a party. I made this. No, you didn't.
No.
No. You may have, but that's gross. No, thank you.
I put an apple pie in a bottle of whiskey. Mmm.
I don't know what they do to it. Usually, like... When I've had it before, it winds up being okay because I'm already a little drunk on bourbon, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Sure, I'll try some of your homemade moonshine.
Oh, this is interesting. It's clear.
I feel like I need a scoop of ice cream in my drink right now.
Right? Yeah. I'll
give you a scoop of ice cream.
Give you. Promise.
If you're lucky. Okay, I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, good.
That's a keeper. It tastes like fall, too.
I was slipping shit earlier, and I take that back.
Now that it's it gets dark at noon here in Seattle.
So. God.
Oh, daylight
Woo.
Savings.
Why do we do that again? So this is our 52nd episode.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God.
We made it a whole year.
We're almost
senior
citizens.
What?
We're 7 years in dog years. So we're an obnoxious, child running around.
Woohoo!
So
well, we're just getting up on our feet.
It was a little touch and go there for a while. You know, I was kind of scared the podcast wasn't going to implode.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what's going on? Because Captain Jack, you had a life change with your job.
Yeah.
And, you know, Freckles and I have had a relationship dynamic change. Mm-hmm. And we had some foibles the last couple weeks with scheduling and some emotional crap that's happened on all of our fronts. And I was like, okay, we got to fix it. So I called Ari and said, I need help with the boys.
And yourself.
Yeah, but I was calling her. So, ah. So I called you. I called you actually this week to see if you could come out and not only guest on the podcast, because we love having you.
Thanks.
Not only are you delicious eye candy, but thanks. You know, for the audience at home, she is. But you also are just a rock star in the sex positive community and with relationship coaching. So we want to make sure that you stay in the mind's eye, even though you've got another little life to attend to.
Yeah.
You've expanded your poly family there.
Yes, I have a new primary partner.
Yeah. And yeah, are you discovering that, yes, you can have both and have it all?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
But I think I also did a lot of planning beforehand.
Right.
Mm.
So there was a lot of, okay, how do I have my dream job that I can do anywhere in the world and help people and be a mom.
Right.
So
and this has been a couple of years in the making for you, yeah?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. I left my corporate gig at Amazon after 5 years of doing leadership development and coaching mm-hmm. stuff there and traveled the world for a year, came home and got knocked up and
yeah.
Here we go.
Good. And would you have rather gotten knocked up abroad or at home?
No, because I already had a lot of coaching clients,
okay.
But I really wanted to lay down the foundation and get my marketing up and going and
sure.
and broaden my base and make sure I could do this remote thing.
Right.
From anywhere in the world. So now I have clients in Japan and India and Argentina, and it's been just a wild ride that I don't have to be in an office in Seattle, which is really lovely.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then how does that work? Like you said that you've got relationship and career coaching and you do that through remote video and obviously email and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So most of it's used through Google Hangouts actually. So okay. I teach people how to install the little 3-minute plugin and
sure.
away we go with video coaching. And even my clients in Seattle will meet once or twice in person oftentimes mm-hmm. and then the rest, it's so much easier for them to stay in their pajamas and at home and just relax and we talk over video what's going on. And I'm still a somatics coach, so I work with the body,
mm-hmm.
but it's more through the video that we can talk with one another. So cool. It's still live action time, but
right. And what does that mean? You work with the body? Do you like tweak nipples at the same time, or what?
You know, I haven't yet. Can you tweak your own nipples, please?
Okay, I'm suddenly interested.
Right.
Yes.
I thought I'd bring it back to titties for you. So.
But we do a lot of exercise around breathing and meditation mm-hmm. and all the woo stuff that we incorporate. That's really important around, you know, helping your body center and helping, especially people in relationships, start to okay. not just be stuck in their head, but come back to their heart. And that is often an issue in our society and in multiple relationships.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
Yeah.
And how does that look like if you're coaching a couple, so to speak? What does that look like? Do you meet with both of them together? Do you meet with them individually?
Yeah, I kind of leave it up to the couple to see what they're wanting to do. We do an informational in the beginning, like the intake session that's usually together, and it's about 60 to 90 minutes long. Mm-hmm. We'll dig into what each of them sees are some challenges in their relationship. And they've got a pre-assessment form first where it's like 6 pages of me digging into them.
Nice.
And what's going on in all aspects of their life. And then we really start working together and figure out, okay, are we going to meet as a whole team this mm-hmm. week? Or are we going to be meeting one-on-one depending on what's going on? And there's homework in between each time we have sessions.
Okay.
So there nice. People have some homework and they come yeah. back with new understandings because I'm not here for quick Band-Aid fixes. I want lifetime change. So.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yeah. Do you consult individuals, not just couples?
Oh, yeah. And I have two tracks. I have professional and personal. Most of my business is with personal and I work with individuals, sometimes people who want to be in relationships or have had lots of negative patterns of finding themselves in codependent relationships and want to break out of that. Or I work with people who are in polyamorous or other open styles of relationships.
Something tells me I need to hire her.
I know. I was just thinking about what about middle-aged dude angst? Do you ever work with that?
Dude angst? Wait a second.
Dude angst.
Is that what I
angst.
Got now?
Dun, dude dun, angst. Dun.
I thought it was existential angst.
I like dude angst better.
Dude angst.
Yeah.
No, I'm
do you want me
about,
to say midlife crisis? I can do that
it's
too.
Not a midlife crisis. I did that years ago when I joined a band and bought a motorcycle, and
hair.
That's over with.
Right.
Colored my hair, yeah. No, but I think I could have used you, yeah, several weeks ago. Thinking yeah. about this now, had I realized what I was getting into. And we've talked about this in the past episodes, but I don't want to really dive into it again. But yeah, you do singles.
Yes, I do.
It's good to know.
She does singles.
Mm-hmm. Not like that.
I'm
fine. Supposed to go
sometimes.
There, not
you.
You
can ask. Sometimes.
Just not clients. No.
Right. Well, dang. Then maybe I don't want to hire you.
Oh. Oh.
Quandary.
Cute.
I know.
The conundrums.
Yeah. Very cool. So you came in today and you helped us get on track.
Yeah. You guys are actually really easy. I mean, it's a great thing to see. I work with a lot of groups. I was just out at MIT working with a group, helping them get some folks on track who couldn't communicate well. And I was expecting more of that sort of challenge. And it turns out you guys are easier
so
than
we're
MIT
not that
folks.
Bad as we thought.
Excellent.
We were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's encouraging.
So the O-Face show is not a shit show.
No.
Yay.
Okay. That was great.
Good. Glad to hear.
Not
we've had
a shit show. We thought it was.
It's only a quarter
shit
of the shit show.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. 25%. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's make that work.
I mean, this past year, you've obviously been through some storming together, and here you are ready to really kick into gear of bringing your game face. And I think this next 52 weeks is going to be killer.
You mean our O-face?
Your O-face.
Bring your O-face.
Bring your O-face.
We have no game face.
Yes.
So one of the things that I've heard consistently with the last couple of guests and episodes that we've had, and I know that all three of us have been sometimes having hiccups, sometimes having really easy time of it, of interpersonal communication. And because we have the podcast, which we're all vested in, but it's not as emotional or as personal or with as much baggage as a relationship. So I know that we all struggle with interpersonal relationships within our, and communication within our dynamic, personal dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've heard the last couple of guests that we've had is that they've also had communication issues within their personal relationship. So one of the things that we talk a lot about in the lifestyle and polyamory is open communication and healthy communication. And let's make sure we're talking about everything. But there's also some autonomy and privacy that goes along with that. So where's the line? And what does actual healthy communication look like? Because everybody talks about it in this pie in the sky esoteric concept, but nobody's asking the question I'm asking, so I'm asking you.
And luckily there's no one big answer.
Yay. I love that. It's just like
everything in the world,
right? It's different for everyone.
Yeah. Awesome. And you know, we all, I think we crave an easy answer in our culture. I mean, at least in the way I was raised, which was in Michigan, was very much everything's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I have yet to find any black and white now that I'm an adult. So here we are, and looking for the best way to communicate, I think, really depends on the individuals who are involved and what kind of boundaries you have, what kind of needs you have, and how well you're able to dip into what your needs are, what kind of self-development you've done, and bring that to the table and share that with one another. So if I was working with a group in a corporate setting, I wouldn't do so much like, oh, let's dig into what's going on in their personal lives, but it's more about how we communicate to get the project done, right?
Sure.
But in this setting, you guys have a unique challenge where you're getting a project done that is business, and you have personal relationships and friendships.
Hugely personal.
Yeah.
Hugely. Mm-hmm. And you're talking
We've
about hugely personal,
naked.
Vulnerable stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a whole other level of complexity.
It is. It's delicious.
Yeah. So what I'm really curious about what you found in your dynamics so far this past year of doing this huge, wonderful project. And what has really worked well for you and what just didn't?
Oh, she interviews us. What the
what?
Fuck? How did the tables get turned?
You're fired as far as we ended up.
No, 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 no.
Yeah,
don't do that. Don't do that. Then it's you.
I'm going to drop the mic. Oh, wow. That's a big, fat, loaded question,
no
isn't it?
How do I answer that? Jenga first.
Damn it. Fuck you. What was the question again?
So
it's like calling shotgun.
Yeah, so you all have a unique dynamic.
We do.
What has worked well and what has not worked this year?
With communication on the podcast or interpersonally?
I'd say on the getting this to work. Like you, I heard you all commit today to do more podcasting, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Most podcasts fail by now.
Yeah, well, and it was a coming to Jesus day. Because it was, all right, are we gonna do this? Are we going to make it work? Are you guys ready to go to the next level? Because frankly, I wasn't sure we were going to make it this far. You know, I mean, with the club closing, with us getting divorced, with you having a change in your living arrangements and job, Captain
Jack.
Yeah,
one of my issues was I've been so out of touch that I didn't realize that it was had to come to a come to Jesus moment today.
Yeah.
When you sent out that email the other day, I'm like, what?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, we're just kind of coasting along, whatever.
Sure.
And I mean, that's how
and that's kind of that's kind
been.
Of also a good motivator for that particular kind of email is that we have been kind of coasting along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, we could have continued probably another 3 months before it would have imploded. So positive communications. I think we'd need to rewind a couple months and revisit what was working in the past. But we're also looking to the future to redefine that too. One of the things when New Horizons was open, we saw each other all the time.
Yeah.
So it was really super easy.
That was
to
a big help.
Yeah. And just like, okay, well, can we do this Sunday morning after we all wake up and have breakfast? And it made for a really easy recording schedule. We were all there in one space at one time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even
easy
if
to talk about subjects.
Because we were all part of the same
shared experience.
One of the nights I saw you Wednesday night or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot easier. I never really thought about that until there.
It was, And plus, you know, I was always doing research for trivia for Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. So I was really up on sex positive research and stuff like that. So it was really easy because it was all like wrapped up in a neat little bow. And it was an extension of the job that I was already doing. And as the director of entertainment and education, it was just like, oh, this is just another leg, so bleep, I'm gonna just information dump what I learned this week.
So it sounds like being in close proximity really worked well for you guys.
It did. And
it's like we're staying at mom and dad's house and now we have to adult.
Right. Oh my god, are we graduating?
Not yet. Got a long ways to go until graduation.
Oh dear.
So we're latchkey kids right now.
Exactly.
We're latchkey kids. One of the motivators that I talked about in our session that we just had with you, for me, this podcast has encouraged me to go out and have experiences in the lifestyle and within the poly community, which, you know, it's like, oh, I've got a podcast. We're going to be recording this weekend. So let's go have some adventures.
Yeah.
Let's create some stories.
And are the three of you doing that together?
Not necessarily.
No. I think you should do some, you know, field trip
adventures.
Mm. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Scheduling nightmare is what I hear.
Now come on, I mean, if we meet up to schedule, you know, a podcast on Friday night, we all go to like Bar Mix, which is a fun little club to go to.
Yeah, it's a fun club. Never.
We can go do that. We can rock that.
I could be okay with that.
We can rock this town.
Yes,
rock you could it inside
probably
out.
Even hire really entertaining people to come over to your house and have entertaining evenings together. Who knows? There's so many things you could do out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Possibilities.
All kinds of good ideas flying around in here. Somebody taking notes?
Yes.
Nope.
Oh, wait. I got it.
Are you recording this?
What? I am. Hey.
Yeah, it could be like the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory of sex.
So I'm thinking about
you get nothing.
Going back.
Okay, no, but here's the deal. We're not having a chocolate river. I don't care how much you argue.
I'm stuck on bad egg shoot girl and how that incorporates.
Oh, that's just BDSM play. Oh.
Oh.
That was one of our points today.
I thought we're not supposed to talk about BDSM.
No, we're not. No. It's not that we're not supposed to talk about it.
It's edge play. That's all. Do I hit a pillow? Wait.
You know I cringe on edge play. That just spooks the shit out of me.
Oh.
Good. Let's do it.
Push those edges.
No.
No. So that's what has worked for us.
You know, and you brought up something else earlier that was a big pain point for all of you. And I think it applies to pretty much every relationship. Scheduling.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in some sort of ethical non-monogamous structure. How are you going to schedule that?
There is an app for that, dude. Like, yeah. And it's only for iPhones. And that is like, that's almost pushed me to the Apple world. Like, that app.
So, Google Calendar?
No, it is called, we talked about it. It is a poly relationship calendaring app.
Okay, I have to check this out. Yes, I don't know about this.
It was on the last podcast. Where you can have like relationship agreements and like relationship like rankings. Like, this is my primary partner, secondary, like, and priorities.
Whoa.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay. Tasks and things.
I have homework for tonight then.
Yeah, it's super awesome.
Slushy downloaded it.
Did she like it?
She's using it, I guess, last time I heard.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
I may have to get an iPhone.
Okay, well, if people don't have iPhones, Google Calendar works really well, too.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does, yeah.
You can share it with folks.
We use it. Do your but thing. It's a calendar. Yes. You know, it's not an exciting app. Like, I just got super stoked about.
So, scheduling. Challenging.
Yeah, scheduling.
Yeah, that's been...
Good tangent, though.
That's been a shit show for us. That's probably 25% of our shit show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just between emotional upsets... there are some days where it's like, just don't feel like doing this crap.
I sometimes come here and is mom and dad getting along?
Yeah. That's better now.
Yeah.
That's better now.
Much better.
So you all mentioned scheduling. We talked about that.
Yes.
Another issue that came up when we were talking about what's going on with O-Face and your planning was around, well, how do we handle these personal issues and relationship things that come up? And I see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And in personal relationships, what if you come home from a long day of work and you instantly get into a fight?
Right.
Because there's stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be about the couple. Oftentimes it's not. There's other stuff going on in the background of their lives. They had a rough day at work. Their cat died. Something happened. So it's really bringing to the forefront. How do you create space to talk about what's going on in your life before you launch into the rest of your day? How do you ground yourself in center before you reconnect with whoever you're reconnecting with, your team, your loved one? So one of the things that I often recommend is that people like just schedule in that time.
Yep.
Give yourself 5 minutes, take a deep breath together and talk about whatever's coming up for you, whatever's on the top of your mind. Just say, this is where I'm at today. I might need like a half an hour alone. I'm going to go take a shower. I love you. And I'll be back.
And we actually used to do that. We talked about that. So before we got into this kind of negative pattern of feeling like obligation, Freckles and I were having some rocky personal times, trying to work out our own shit. And Jack, you were going through some emotional growth, really. I mean, I know when we started this podcast, as I tease you about it now, that you didn't feel that you were capable of falling in love. And now you're falling in love all over the place.
Oh,
and I was like, careful what you wish for, asshole.
I know.
So you're
maybe misplaced, but maybe not.
Yeah. So that's something that we have committed to getting back to. Is having that little 15-20 minute touch-in session, get warmed up before we start doing the podcast and then the recap.
So last week, part of my issue of not being here was that I went through an emotional turmoil thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Slushy and I were really no longer, we're talking, we're friends, but, you know, the relationship is on hold right now. So until some things get figured out. And it was pretty devastating to me the whole weekend and hour or two before recording.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I put a game face on this and put a nice little bow around me when that's not my MO? I really have a hard time doing that. I kind of bring myself out here without sugarcoating it or putting a different face on it.
And I get that. And I had the same thing happen when Panda and I had to redefine our relationship too. And it sucked. And I think we actually cut the podcast short because I got so choked up about it that it was only like a 35, 40 minute.
Yeah, episode. Something around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was raw.
It was a struggle. And had I had her around, maybe that would have helped out a lot.
Don't displace that. I know it's a compliment to her, but no, and I totally understand and get that. Yeah. I do. And that's something that we're going to work on together as a team. So.
Can you just touch on when you two were going through stuff and having to redefine your relationship?
We still are.
It's going to be an ongoing thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you all did today, too, for O-Face.
Yeah.
You redefined your relationship. You checked in, said, how are things going? Do we still want to do this? Is this still awesome? And if not, what's going to bring back the awesome? And that's what every relationship is about, right? You just, yeah. It's never going to be the same. It's going to be very different 6 months from now.
Yeah.
So how do you do a check-in and say, do we keep going?
You know, last week, had I known we would have a like a half hour before the podcast, before we would start the podcast, just to check in and, okay, where's everybody's head? Where's I would have reconsidered, you know, hanging around. And, okay, I have a moment here. We don't. They're not just going to arrive and boom, we're off and running.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had been doing that, and we got into a space somehow where it was like when we scheduled it, it's like, well, is that the start time? Is that when we're going to start? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it was.
Or is that when we get there and then after setup? And
And part of the setup was we were socializing and doing that while Freckles was setting up equipment and stuff. So we can get back to that. You know, it's just, I think that piece of communication being clear, perhaps, in what the intention was, you know, what is this time being used for, instead of, oh, this is just a waste of time because we're not ready to go. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what else did you like about the session today, guys? What do you think it improved with communication?
Well, I think we actually set the intention to communicate and then did that. Mm-hmm. Which is very helpful, because we talk about communication
all the
lot.
Time.
And to the point that you made at the beginning of the show, a lot of poly and open and et cetera relationships are based on communication. And then that's a pretty consistent reason for couples to not, they don't actually do that.
So what happens, Ari, what happens when you've seen couples get to a point where they thought they had good communication and then something comes up and all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, we haven't really been talking about stuff. What happens there? What's that tipping point?
Yeah, usually I see that people think they're communicating well. I mean, people have great intentions, but we're all really busy and we all have these preconceived notions of, oh, I saw my parents do this, or I saw my boss do this, so this is what a good communicator must be. And it's different for every person. So how do you get people on the same playing field is what I really like to help people do. Saying, okay, well, you're using this communication tool and she's using this one. How do we both use the same one? Mm-hmm. So there are some go-tos that I use, like nonviolent communication or imago dialogue. These are all really great to bring people back together. But in terms of just like group dynamics, you just lay it out. Talk about what you want. Talk about what's not working, and then say, oh, I didn't know this was bothering you too. I thought you liked it. I thought this was going really well. And turns out a lot of times the things that are falling apart are based on assumptions.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. Have you guys experienced that in relationships?
Assumptions leading to miscommunications? Yes.
Oh, who hasn't?
Yeah.
Everybody has. It's just how you handle it.
Yeah.
Pro tips. How'd you backpedal and fix it?
You're putting me on the spot here. I can't pick one out right now.
Okay. I didn't know if something would come to
brain
mind.
Brain jam.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's a skill to be developed. It's not something necessarily that, I mean, it does come naturally to some people, but if you're not realizing that you're doing it, it's difficult to pinpoint because it feels like, it can feel like, being put on the spot for being the person who's not communicating or being, you know, when you're, and it your mindset is, I'm communicating, I'm doing these things. And it's not, but it's communicating from a base of assumptions, not listening, a lot of that. And I think that actively listening and then responding to the person that you've heard what they're saying helps to foster that communication back and forth. And that's definitely a learned skill.
So the most recent relationship I've had with Slushy, has been a huge learning curve for me, because I usually date what I'd call over communicators. They communicate too much. There is a thing where it's just too much. And maybe that's just me.
But what does that mean? What does that look
maybe
like?
Me in the past not really needing that relationship or wanting that relationship or not into it or whatever. But this one, she communicates. She doesn't talk much. Mm-hmm. And but there's never ever awkward silence. There's a lot of silence, but it's never awkward. It just feels nice. Mm-hmm. And but to get something serious out of her, I've had to up my communication skills.
Okay.
And it has been a huge learning curve and growth curve for me. And I think going forward with this experience behind me, hopefully it will help me out and
right.
enhance my future relationships.
Yeah.
But I've had to learn how to communicate in relationships because of her.
Nice. Nice.
Forced to.
So that's actually helped.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that brings up a really good point, because there's some people that have different communication styles with being more reserved, perhaps. Is that an accurate statement?
Very accurate.
So, okay, how do you break through that if someone's a little bit more reserved and somebody else is an overshare? And I think that, Freckles, you and I dealt with that because I came from a family that, like, overshare everything.
Yes.
Like, you had no secrets.
Oh, yes.
All your shit was on the clothesline. Like, it was dirty laundry city.
Yes.
Like, that's how we communicate. Everybody is up in everybody else's shit.
Yeah.
And in his family, somebody could be in the hospital for a month, and then you find out a year later.
Oh, that's my family.
Okay, yeah. So, with those two, like, baggage, serious baggage, because we were on opposite sides of the spectrum, and they both were unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I felt like, in some cases, that secrets were being kept, and you felt like I was just oversharing all the time. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Too much information is coming out, and like, no, we don't need to be talking about that kind of thing.
That's tricky.
Let's kick that under the rug. That was always my policy. Right.
Well, yeah. That's right.
We don't look under the bed.
Hey, let's table that and never talk about it ever again.
That's secrets. That's bad.
Right. Bad. No. Yeah. So it really depends on the individuals, right? Going back to this, how are you going to collaborate? Some people find a way to just make it work. But I really like to ask people to check in with, why do you want to share everything? Or why do you not want to share everything? What's coming up for you? What's holding you back from sharing everything with your partner? Or what's holding you back from just sharing the key points and really making sure they're connected and connecting for you and your partner?
For me, sharing everything is what builds intimacy.
Yeah. And it sounds
Did you hear how sarcastic that was?
That sounded like my ex.
Oh, dear.
Wife.
Well, maybe she and I should get together. No.
Zing!
Let's not go there.
Okay. And I see this happens a lot of times for more feminine-bodied folks want to share all the things, and more masculine-bodied folks want to not share all the things.
You mean dames?
Dames. The dames wants to talk
guys
all the
and
time.
Dolls.
Guys and dolls.
Yep. So a lot of times I'll ask women or the feminine, whoever is embodying the feminine energy in that point, who else are you sharing things with? And are you journaling? What kind of personal work are you doing to figure out where you're at and what's really important for you in your life? Because a lot of times it's just this word vomit that's just going on and going on. And it's important, but it's verbal processing. Mm-hmm. So maybe you just need to spend more time processing and figuring out what's really important in my heart right now that I want to share with my partner in order to build intimacy.
Okay.
Because your goal was really intimacy.
Yeah. Quality, not quantity is what you're saying, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. So figure your own shit out.
Yeah.
And then go talk to your partner.
Exactly. And the same is true on the other side, right?
And no lies, right?
No lies. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Honesty. Like, there's never any reason why you need to create white lies or black lies or any of those other lies out there.
Purple lies.
No purple ones. They don't work out. But a lot of it comes back to, do you know yourself and do you know what's going on and what's coming up for you? And if you really feel like you need to verbally process with someone, where are your friends? Who are your friends? Mm-hmm. Where's your mom? Who can you call and just say, hey, I need to talk through this stuff?
Right.
Because if it's actually pushing your partner away, then it's probably not the best tactic. And you can slowly ease them into it. Say, this is really important to me. I want to be able to verbally process with you. Can I ask for when you have a space to hear me do that?
Sure. So what about when a partner becomes impatient with that communication and then pushes the envelope when somebody isn't quite ready to share?
From when you have too much to share?
No. If someone is working through and processing where they're at with a new relationship, perhaps some sexual foible that happened, you know, something along those lines that's super intimate, or, you know, I'm interested in trying this. Where's, how would a couple or group dynamic deal with that?
I see a lot of times that people let the pendulum swing out of balance.
Okay.
So it becomes all about that processing. It becomes all about communicating. I'm putting that in quotes. Mm-hmm. But it's really this, we're just going to keep rehashing these feelings. We're going to keep rehashing whatever happened. And you forget to bring in the rest of life and the other things you did together that made your relationship enjoyable or fun. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's always talking. So how do you make time?
Okay, I'm not talking about the poly situation where everybody sits around and braids their hairs and drinks chamomile tea.
Yeah,
and
no, not like
they
that.
Never fuck. They just sit around and talk. I'm talking about, sorry. It's a comedy sketch, really. I'm talking about, like, for example, if, well, I'll just talk about something that Freckles and I went through. When I was first seeing Panda, I started to develop some feels and wasn't sure where I was at with it and hadn't talked to either one of them about it. And then Freckles and I got into a big fucking blowout fight about it.
That's
because
true.
He saw some stuff and I wasn't sure where I was at with it, so I wasn't ready to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And then very regrettable things were said during that yelling match.
Yes, indeed.
You know, how do you prevent something like that? Because he wasn't being patient with my process of, I'm not ready to talk about this.
Yeah, did you ask for that space? Did you say, hey, I'm, yep.
From my perspective in that particular instance, I was also learning to be more communicative, which was an ask as well, trying to be more, get more out there and being more. And so I was sharing things and saying basically, hey, look, this is this thing I am doing.
True.
And it is hard for me. And I am sharing these things that I normally wouldn't talk about. And in the realm of our communication, this is very different for me, very hard. And then I was getting back essentially what I used to give, which was frustrating because the
You're
opposite was
stonewalled.
Happening, kind of. And it was at a point where I knew the answer to the question that I was asking. It was intuitive. I mean, there was just no doubt at all that this is the question I'm asking. I already know the answer to it. Really, all you have to do is say, yeah, that's what I'm feeling, because that's what I'm getting off of you. And the response was, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet, which is completely valid. And it should have been easier for me to step back and say, I understand. But I was also panicking that not only was I feeling that, I was also not aware, maybe not aware of something else you were feeling. And the thing that you didn't want to say was, yes. Oh, and also this whole other thing. So I had a big tornado in my head going, well, what if it's also something else? What if it's this thing that I know it is, and I can see it, and I can see it on her, and I can see it in her and the way she talks and all, you know, that stuff. What if it's also these other things? Oh, shit. Fuck. I need to get an answer. I need to get an answer. I need to get an answer. I need to go, 4 o'clock in the morning in the gardens at NH while everyone
Silent.
Was asleep. Silent screaming.
We did. Yeah. We
Why had, are you talking about?
We had a nice little whisper scream fight. But
wow.
The staff was very skilled at those.
Oh, yes. Oh.
This is why it's oftentimes nice to have a mediator that goes between folks and can kind of speak both languages.
Guess
and
what?
See all
things. I was the one at club doing that. So
We all need someone else.
But I think what really fucked with my head on that situation is that he had a partner prior to that he got the feels for. And I was totally hands off about, this is his process. I'm going to wait until he comes to talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. And didn't even poke or pry. Was just like, okay, this is coming down the pike. Let's see what happens. And I ask prodding questions, but then back off. And I didn't feel that I got the same courtesy. And I had already...
Did he ever come forward?
Yeah, eventually. And I had actually mirrored the response and reaction and compassion that I had hoped to get if that happened on my end, which I never thought it would, honestly. So...
Sounds like you guys both had a lot of hopes and you're both trying a lot of things and just wasn't working necessarily. So I would be looking for new tools, and I'd also be looking for, hey, how can we work in two things? One, a set time of when we can check in about whatever's coming up and say, okay, so you're not ready right now. can we try to talk about this in 2 days? Because then I can let go of some of the she's never going to tell me.
Right.
Which, was probably anxiety inducing for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then another exercise that I've seen, I think it comes from a book called A Passionate Marriage. It talks about asking 2 questions. Mm-hmm. And every morning, this is a huge challenge for couples, but asking, how have I brought joy to your life? And what are you afraid to tell me?
Can you say that again? He sneezed.
Yes.
Sorry. I was trying to hold that one back.
It's like an orgasm. You're just going to get a headache. Just let it go, man. Just
we
let it go.
We edit nothing. We edit
Wait,
nothing.
Wait, is that... What's coming out of your nose? No.
TMI.
Sorry. You'll have to listen to the sound check to get that joke.
All right, so what was the question again?
Okay, so
I don't fucking know.
The research I was going to share was there are 2 questions you could ask.
I'm so glad you keep us on track.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It's about time somebody did that for us.
Oh, fuck off.
I wasn't aiming that to you.
You looked right at me. That was totally on me.
So actually, I believe this is taken from the book Nonviolent Communication, now that I'm thinking about it. And the 2 questions he challenges his readers to ask each other, and mostly geared at couples, are... How have I contributed to your life? How have I added joy to your life? And what are you afraid to tell me?
Afraid to tell me? Uh-huh. Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
Yeah.
Right?
And those are daily questions.
That's icky.
That's so icky.
Ow.
Yeah. We tried doing it in the morning while we were like getting ready in the shower. That's how cute. We wanted to start our day off, we learned. But we try to do it weekly now, and that works really well for our relationship, and that, you know. Who knows? Maybe you could have uncovered some sticky stuff a little sooner before it got too sticky or too big.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are really good pro tips. And that's what I was really trying to get to the meat of what does healthy communication look like. Because, you know, there is no pat answer for everyone, but there's skills that people can use. And looking at, you know, some of the shit that Freckles and I have been through, and actually some of the shit that Jack and I have been through, you know, with communication and stuff. Because we had a couple blow-ups and foibles at club with stuff going on. And we worked it out. And we're working stuff out. And continue to. So, thank
you. But I can't quit you.
You know, the back of my cell phone cover says we're all made of stories. And I think that is so true in all these different relationship dynamics. And the hard thing is that almost all of us come to the table with great intention. Mm-hmm. But they get lost in the other assumptions that we're all making about each other and how we're processing this moment. You know, there's any incident that happens, there's your side of the story and his side of the story, and then there's the truth.
Yep.
And all of them hold water in a different way.
Yeah.
So how do you get to the background of what's going on in each situation? And I think so many of the fights that happened could have been negated if you just heard why the person took the action or said the thing they said. What was going on in the background of, when I was 16, my boyfriend did this to me, and I'm sure that's what he was trying to do. That probably wasn't it.
Yeah, get to the nugget. That's what I say. I like the nugget. Like, find out. And that's what I tell people when I do my jealousy and lifestyle 101 class, is that, you know, those are great red flags. You know, hello, we need to work on this. Let's shine a corner or a flashlight in that corner and find out what the dust bunnies are about from the past, you know? And I think it's a great tool. So expanding that from personal interactions to relationship is also a great way to salvage that.
Yep.
Awesome. Fantastic. Any other questions for our lovely, beautiful guest here?
Not at the moment.
How do you stay so beautiful?
Have a baby? Maybe not that. Travel a lot?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's fall in love a lot?
Aww.
All these great things.
Fall in love a lot. The benefit of poly world, I guess.
How's your adventure time going, Captain Jack?
Oh, my gosh. Since I've been kind of released of of my poly situation or my skirting with the poly world, I've managed to line up a lot of dates and have a lot of fun. So last Halloween was a shenanigan fest of a bunch of new people that I met at the club and had a lot of fun. I met 2 people there, set up outside dates outside of the club. One was Thursday, and we didn't actually play at the club, but we on Thursday she came over and went out and did some karaoke.
Fun.
And had some dinner. And
Wait. What did you sing?
What did I sing? Matt Nathanson, Come and Get Higher. That was kind of a...
Oh, I bet you did a really good job with
that.
That
was a, kind of a suicide.
Voice.
I'd never done that one before.
Oh, Karaoke Roulette?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I'd never done that particular song on karaoke. I was singing in the car like, oh, I could do this. And then it felt like a train wreck when I actually did it.
Yeah. Cool.
And I think one of Van Halen song, and there was a lot of people there that night, so I think I only sang two songs. And the fact that she wanted to go back to my apartment.
To sing more.
Boink you.
To sing, yes, exactly, sing more.
Yes. Mm-hmm,
exactly. Use my microphone at home.
No.
So
closer
and then,
to your lips. Hold it closer to your lips.
Friday, it was a woman, a couple I met at the club the previous Saturday on Halloween. She and her husband basically took me out, wined and dined, and 69'd me. I just
nice.
I
oh you got
usually I go
like
on a date.
Woman.
I know I
again.
Now I know how girls feel, and it's fucking awesome. It was cool. I mean, hotel. They flipped the bill for the hotel, dinner, the comedy show, Damon Wayans down in Bellevue. It was
nice.
Oh, it was a blast.
Very cool.
Absolute. And then she sent a little message to me today, talking about getting together again and. Yeah, and
did,
he was super
did it
cool.
Start, thanks for the good dickin'. Did it?
Not quite. Not those exact words, but close to it.
That is something with swinger etiquette and lifestyle etiquette that it's good to send a text message or a thank you or something.
Oh, totally.
The mm-hmm. day after.
Same so. With kink and
yep.
Mm-hmm.
If too. I end up making out with a girl at the club or at a bar or whatever, mm-hmm. and I don't, and that's where it ends, I'll still send a message the next day.
Nice.
Said, hey, it was great to meet you, and oh yeah, that kiss
mm-hmm.
about that. I don't have to play with them to like you know, at least it's a good way to get the communication out there to start the
yeah.
ball rolling, and then something might lead to that something
right,
else.
Right.
That couple, he was super cool. He just wanted to see his woman pleased all night long, and he loved it.
Nice.
And it's always a good time when you start a session, whether it's a group or a couple or just a one on one, and there's a. The first scene of a porn starts as you start. You don't get done until just when the credits roll.
Nice.
Ah.
That's awesome.
I never time, you know, you never have time to time things. But
oh, sure, no.
That was something I noticed. We started at the beginning of the movie and whew, laid back down on the bed and there's the credits rolling.
Well like, done.
I think well I looked done. Up and saw it like two or three times what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a quick question because I had a situation with a client recently come up and I would love to get some feedback. You mentioned that you just went on a date with someone and it was really great. Well, what happens if you don't go on another date, but then, I don't know, 3-4 months down the line, you are interested in going out with them again maybe. How do you pick that back up and not be like, sorry for the one night stand or like, what do you do?
Oh,
it's not really
I've
sorry,
done that. It's
like,
not
how do you
a.
I've done it. Yeah.
I've done it. It's hey, you just reconnect. Like hey, long time no see. I mean that's pretty cliche, but
that's, yeah.
something like been a long time. Sorry, we lost contact with each other. You know, life's been crazy or whatever. And how you been? What's
and
new?
One of my favorites is I was just thinking about the last time we were together and it was fantastic. And you've
yeah,
been,
you
been
crossed
on my
mind
lately.
Yeah.
You know, and just compliment. Lead in with a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Is a good way to
are you
that
ever
going.
Like super direct and be like are you still interested
yeah absolutely yeah. I'm not
does that come right away or does that is that
not right
into
the last couple people I've connected with I did because I'm
oh,
like
okay.
I don't have time to waste
oh well there you go
like I'm my schedule's too tight
shit or get off the pot
yeah
you want to get in on this
right Ms. Jenga's open for business
dun, 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 dun. TikTok TikTok
yeah. How's post baby sex going for you
awesome.
I think that's a whole show topic. I'm interested in how
sex
the
during pregnancy. I just did
a baby monkey wrench has been thrown into your poly world. I'm super curious about that.
Oh, that too. That's crazy. That's crazy. And awesome. But it's going really.
You
well.
Could write a new book. Baby makes seven.
So it's been really exciting and this past week was my first time coming back into the world of kink a little bit, nice. Which was also very cool because it's been well over a year because I didn't really feel like doing much when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Other than topping. So right. Now it's like, oh yeah, I like, I'm a switch. I like,
you've got a kink lab coming up on the 14th.
I do. It's a whole unconference, full day of getting to explore kink in lots of different ways. So 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come make it up and explore whatever you want. Learn about things or bring your expertise.
And I was at one of those and it was super cool. So it's like relationship stuff and BDSM stuff. And like the one I went to, they were talking about like how to heat up toys in the right way for sensation play. Yep. And just, you know, so it's led by people and very, you know, burner-esque in the fact of if you don't like what's going on, leave. You know?
Totally.
And even if you sign up for a topic, you don't have to necessarily be there. Just see what happens.
Yeah, and it sounds really like unstructured and chaotic, but it's magical.
It's very cool. Yeah, I would highly recommend it. And we'll have a link to that.
Yes.
For registration. So.
Sweet. How about me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have, wow. I've been flirting back and forth with a couple people on OkCupid.
Nice.
Haven't been able to make anything work out IRL at this point.
In real life.
Yes. For, oh, people don't know that one already. Okay. Oh, dear. Yeah. So it's been interesting because my current lead off is I've been out of the dating scene for 22 years.
Sort of true.
Well, except for I've been very upfront about, you know, except for the last 4 years where I was in an open relationship. But even that doesn't really equate to like cold calling somebody on a dating site, because true. With swinging, you're all there. We've made this point many times. You're pretty much all there for the same thing. So that cuts a whole mess of stuff off of the front end of that, of that chat up.
Do you get a lot of dick pics on OkCupid?
I get zero dick pics so far.
Just asking.
So, not for lack of asking. No. No, I've had a couple of conversations with guys as well.
Cool.
And no dick pics so far. So, but that's pretty much where that's going.
Had any fun adventures?
Fun adventures. I've had a few. I'm not at liberty to talk about them at the moment.
All right.
Unfortunately.
That's all right.
Understandable.
They were fun and because adventurous.
They were fun, so I can't talk about them.
Exactly. So, you know, suck on that.
If they weren't fun, would you be able to talk about them?
No. Because they could not be fun and still be fun. Exactly.
Oh, yes. Your this world. We know it.
I am actually, yeah, that. You're exactly. That. The thing that I must not name.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I know.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And what about you?
Yeah, Jenga. Oh, you've had a smile on your face since I've walked the door. I'm thinking, it's Sunday. Jenga's been naughty.
I've been naughty since Wednesday. Wait,
so?
Thursday. Wait,
Thursday.
See, the fact that you just don't know right off the cuff is a good sign. So, Thursday night.
I hooked up with a guy that I met on OkCupid and had a couple casual dates with him in public to get to know him a little bit. He wanted me to come over to his place. He made a great dinner after we had some sex, which was a lot of fun. And it was really cool because one of the conditions, the reason why I met him in public is because I'm like, I had the safe sex talk. Like, when was the last time you were tested? And he kind of hemmed and hawed around it. I'm like, I get tested every 6 months. Here's my next appointment. Here's the last time I was tested. Everything came back clean. I played with, you know, this number of people with condoms and blah, 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 and just kind of gave him the rundown. And he was a little taken aback. And then he was like, okay, wait, this is really cool. So we had some really great open discussions about sex. And I said, well, if you want to play with me, you got to get tested. Like, if you don't remember the last time you got tested, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, we'll use a condom. I said, yeah, absolutely.
You're exactly right.
And you'll get tested, you know? And it was right. Just
clear
like
communication and boundaries.
It felt really good to have that as a deal breaker, you know, and just to be open about it because the more comfortable I was, the more comfortable that he was. And he said that he'd never had an open discussion like that with anybody before, but he said, now I'm going to start. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
I love it.
Yeah. So finished up at his house, and then I decided to have a booty call with somebody else
on Thursday night. Yeah.
Jenga on the loose.
Yeah.
Now, what time was this? So you finished up the first date at about what time?
About 11:30.
11:30. And you called this other person.
No, I just showed up.
You showed up at the doorstep.
Yeah.
At what time?
About midnight.
Midnight. Okay. Are you able to say who this person
they
is?
They were not expecting me. And I flung the door open.
What?
And I said,
Jenga needs sex now.
I just had a date, and I need to be spanked right. So, and it was a different kind of play. The play that I had with the first date was very sensual and nice and lovely. And then I just wanted to get my ass spanked. So I went over and had like a 4-hour play session.
I hope no woman.
And was still on time to do my crap in the morning. Yes, I was.
That's impossible.
Was. I've got.
So I hope no woman ever refers to time spent with me as lovely.
Why? Aww. It was lovely. It was very nice. And he made me dinner.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, he made me dinner after we had
lovely.
Sex.
It was lovely.
It was great. Mm-hmm. What? Don't be a dick.
It's a very, seriously. It's a very medium road.
I didn't
kind
say
of
you wanted to be like, it was incredible.
Holy shit, knocked my socks off. That's what I wanted.
It was fun.
So if she had said, holy shit, it knocked her socks off, and then I went over to my other play partner's house, how would the reaction have been there? Would she have gotten questions about why?
Oh, why'd you have to go there?
Yeah. I didn't have to. I wanted to. Exactly. Like, I was like, that was a great appetizer.
Oh, yeah.
But you were still hungry.
She texted me. She texted me to say, I'm going over.
I had never been to the dude's house before. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is a safety protocol. Because I said I wasn't going to spend the night at his place. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want anybody to freak out. So I had left, you know, the contact information, the whole safety protocol when you meet somebody online, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I texted, I'm going to be slutty, and this is where I'm going.
You can read that back if you'd like.
No,
like
what? We're good. Then I, that was Wednesday because I had to be home for the cable guy. Anyway, which that
now
did not know.
Now.
No.
Oh, no. No. Go there with me. Go there with
I thought
me.
About it, and then no.
Cable guy sex.
No. Oh, yeah.
But then I went out with Mr. Big that night. We went and saw a show, and then Saturday we had our Whirlwind Slut Tour, so that was a good time.
Slut Tour.
Yes, we went. He saw a play in the afternoon, and then we met up for dinner, and then we went to go see Glimmer at the ACT Theater, which wound up being like this crazy cabaret nudie show. It was great, really cool movement and body work and whatever. And there was part of me that got a little pissed off because I was like, you know what? All of this audience here is getting a Burning Man show without having to suffer. Like, they didn't have to sit in the damn heat and inhale dust to see this.
Who's the smart one now, Jenga?
No,
who's the smart one now?
It wasn't the same. And I was like, you know what? They're totally missing out.
There you go.
But the best part of that was Mr. Big and I were kind of edging towards the door because we had to get to our next event. And they were overtime a little bit on the show because it was supposed to be done at a certain time. We had it planned out. We've got, okay, this much time in traffic, and then we're going to do this, and then blah, 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 blah. So we're like, okay, we got to go before the show's over. So we're like leaning up against the wall, and then all of a sudden, we were the backdrop for the next number. And the next number concluded with one of the actors coming out into the audience screaming, there is no exit, buck ass naked with his wang dangling all over the place, which was eye level for Mr. Big. And his eyes get really big and he looks at me like, fuck you. And of course they're filming. Like, I don't know what they're filming for, but God, I want a video of that look. I really do. Anyway, so we snuck out, and then we went on a swingers cruise around the harbor, around Lake Union downtown, and it was a blast. It was an 80s party, and I'm sitting there in the front row. They started out with a comedy show, and they announced the dude, and it turned out that it was a guy I used to do comedy with back in the late 90s.
Oh wait.
How things come back around.
Oh wait. Did you hit him up after the show?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Was he still doing the same act?
Yeah. There were like a couple jokes that I was like, seriously, like, and I know, I mean, he was super nervous because it was lifestyle. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know the culture, blah, blah, blah. And he did a great job. There were a lot of laughs, and there's some jokes in Seattle you just can't tell. Anyway, so we're standing in the bar line, and he's standing next to me and kind of checking me out. And I said, "How you doing?" And I called him by his first name, and he goes, "I'm good." And I said, "Yeah, I used to do comedy with you at this club." And he was like, "What?" And I said, "This year to this year before you got, you know, bitter and moved to LA." And he was like, "Oh my God." And he looks at me and he goes, "What was your name again?" And I told him, and he goes, "Oh my God." And then we made out on the stairs. But I made out with a whole bunch of people on that cruise and had a really great time. So it was a lot of fun. There was some dirty dancing. There was some spankings going on. And there was...
after party?
The after party was private.
So since I'm not involved in the lifestyle as much at all, I don't know. How do you find these cruises?
This is an adventure club just advertised, and I found out from the owner. So he emailed me, and then some other members from New Horizons had known about it, and then we posted it on our private NH Facebook page. And it is called Couples Cupid, and they do a couple of events throughout the year. But it's something that Mr. Big and I talked about, scheduling cruises and stuff for our own adventure club, too. And
we've talked
about that with the guy that does those. So
so as soon as you guys have your own cruise line, you'll let everybody know.
No, you can just rent the boats, and then you can do whatever you want. But yes, as soon as we have our own cruise line, we'll definitely do that.
Okay.
All right, so that was the adventure for the week, and we've got a baby delivery coming your way. So and we are going to celebrate.
You gonna break that bottle over my ass?
No. Congratulations, gents! I am pouring some champagne for our 52nd episode. Happy fucking New Year.
Congratulations, all of you.
From the O-Face podcast, here is to another great
year.
Year
two.
Woohoo.
All right. So, Ari Kardosh, she can be found on Twitter at @coach_Ari. Her website is arikardosh.com, arikardos.com. And you've got some stuff coming up, the Kink Lab on the 14th, and then the weekend after Thanksgiving, the 27th of November to the 2nd of December. You've got a retreat on Maui that still has some slots.
Yeah, we're doing a sex positive retreat in Maui.
Is that on your website?
It's in my newsletter.
Cool, perfect. So they can sign up for your newsletter and get all those delicious things.
Exactly.
And then January 9th,
my
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Early.
January 9th, Dane Ballard and I are going to be teaching a class on ethical non-monogamy at the Center for Sex Positive Culture in Seattle.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I'm also teaching in Santa Fe, but most of you, I don't know, maybe you have listeners in Santa Fe.
You might.
I'll be teaching there the weekend of November 20th, and that's also my newsletter.
Come and bathe in this goddess's glory.
Exactly.
Yes. Fantastic. Thanks for listening. And everyone should get their junk sugared by Julie at Sugar Me Julie.
Agreed.
And
I did it last week.
If you've got questions or comments, you can contact us at theofacepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @theofacepodcast. You can follow Ms. Jenga @MsJenga.
Yep.
You can find Jack on Facebook, Jack O'Face. You can find Freckles on Facebook, Freckles O'Face. I believe there may even be a Facebook page for the O'Face podcast itself.
There is.
Indeed.
It's not very active. We're going to get back up.
But we're going to kick some ass out of that.
Yes, yes.
You can find all of our episodes, links to things, information about people and stuff and things at theofacepodcast.com. And that, I believe, is a perfect example of giving 110%.
That's another one in Jenga's can.
That
not even give you a chance to
try. Oh, man. Going to try it
out. We're doing it.
I don't know. Can you stick a dick in your nose? That was really where I was going with that.
Wow. You
can stick
hopefully, if you could, hopefully.
lots and lots of things.
Burn.
Like a neti pot?
Certainly no worse than a neti pot.
Wow, is that snotter? Oh, come on, guys.
Snotter comes.
Oh, there, not me.
I got a box of tissues. It's been a crazy weekend.
Awesome. Yes.
We are going to hear about that. Okay.
All right, cool. I think that's an excellent...
Everybody good?
Yeah.